May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn number 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. Hymn 675.
word of God is a part of the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and I will read the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marvelled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May he bless to us each the reading of his word, and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, we need grace, we need humility. Grant to us a spirit of prayer, Lord, and precious faith, that we may plead the name of Jesus. Lord, we do thank thee for the opportunity to gather and to worship. But it is of thy Spirit that we need that help. Lord, I knowest that by nature, Lord, nothing of the ways of God or the Word of God is at all attractive. But we do hope that it is, as the Holy Spirit makes the need of Christ so very important, that we seek him. Lord, we would return thanks for mercy. And Lord, how we stand every day in need of mercy. But as we address thee in thy house, what grace is needed? Oh, for faith, Lord, to plead indeed for our help, the influence and teaching of thy good Spirit. Lord, we are by nature poor, and we hope by grace we are needy. So help us to indeed remind thee of what thy servant David was taught. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Look down from heaven, Lord, upon this gathering. And oh, hear the prayers, the sighs and the groans that have ascended to thee in silence. Lord, we pray for thy presence, Lord Jesus, then in our midst. And oh, if we are blessed with the Holy Spirit, we stand in need of spiritual food. Oh, grant us some sweet token of thy presence and help. Lord, thy word bless and make it a blessing. Lord, we think of the time, Lord, when this chapter was recorded. Lord, after the ascension of Jesus, that we might be blessed as the early church was, Lord, with divine teaching. Oh, grant, Lord, we pray that we may be led not only to seek for it, but to sweetly experience it. And yet, Lord, we have thy word to plead. Lord, did not Jesus leave on record that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would come to us? Lord, we are together in thy house. Lord, separated, we trust, by grace from the world. We seek not the things of the world. Dear Lord, we seek for those eternal mercies. Oh, visit us with thy salvation. Lord, are the doubting souls here? That doubting souls may believe today they are Jehovah's choice. Lord, any here that are feelingly destitute? Lord, 'tis a solemn feeling. Oh, to be indeed spoken to, graciously led into the word of truth. Lord, what little do we know? Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may be our instructor and our teacher. Lord, we read of him under the title of the Comforter. When the Comforter shall come, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. Lord, may the Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter, assure our interest in Jesus Christ. Lord, there's no blessed comfort like it. Lord, those things are eternal comforts which assure us of an interest in Jesus. Oh, we want nothing, Lord, that fails us when we come to the end of our journey. May we be blessed with those eternal comforts, Lord, upon which to live upon and which to die upon. So, Lord, be with us. Be mindful of those who are not here. Lord, we think of our friend on holiday. Lord, take care of him and his, and bring them back at the appointed time in peace and safety. Lord, wilt thou from this people, Lord, separate those, Lord, to bring them into obedience to thy commands. Lord, may that precious love draw them to follow in the footsteps of the flock. To help our friends, dear Lord, who are indeed bearers of the office of deacons in this place. Lord, what responsibility lies upon them, but what grace is needed to humbly bear the burden of the sanctuary. Oh, hear our prayers. Lord, may they know much of the strength of the everlasting arms of love and mercy. Oh, hear our prayers, Lord, and gather into the church for those who can testify of what thou hast done. Lord, we do thank thee for the gospel, but we thank thee all the more for the sovereign grace of that gospel. Lord, forever making us feel the need of mercy. Lord, we come to thee stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But if thou hast taught us this, and we trust it is so, thou dost not leave us there. Lord, reveal Jesus' precious blood. And then, Lord, we have the scriptural example, Lord, in the Old Testament of those who sheltered under the blood but couldn't see it. Lord, we know, Lord, in the experiences of the people of God, how much they need assurance. Assure my conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Lord, it is not to be ignorant of the blessing. Lord, it is the sweet experience of the blessing that we pray for, Lord, amongst us here. So provide for it. Provide for thy people here in the ministry. Bless thy servants that come here. Lord, may there be an exercise which thou must first of all begin and bring to pass, Lord, for a servant of God to be raised up and settled over them. Lord, may we ask thee for this. It is scriptural, and it is also profitable, Lord. Oh, hear our prayers. Lord, build again thy one church in the earth. Return and build. Lord, remember the young people. Oh, we pray for them all, Lord. Oh, that they may be all taught of the Lord. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Lord, what wilt thou teach them? Themselves. Lord, that's a painful lesson to learn. But then, Lord, thou wilt teach them thyself. Oh, the need of a Saviour. Oh, to be brought out of the feeling sense of destitution into the enjoyment of the gospel, and to know the presence of Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, provide for the cause, and indeed cause thy Spirit to dwell amongst them. and oh, the sovereign act of mercy. Oh, may it be brought to that pass, may it be known by many, if not all. Lord, may there be true seekers. Lord, we read of Saul, behold, he prayeth. Lord, a sign of life, a sign of need. Lord, we wonder at thy sovereignty when we read such things. Thou art a sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious and ever wise. So may there be many, Lord, that shall be brought out of nature's darkness and brought into the enjoyment of the gospel. Lord, the hymn says, then shall I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. I'd point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Dear Lord, we do pray that many in this place may testify, Lord, of their interest in Jesus. Lord, may sinners be blessed with forgiveness and pardon, a spirit of prayer for it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, a sign of life, dear Lord, when there's a cry. Lord, bring forth thy people. Lord, those who are still in the womb of the covenant. Lord, gather them out and gather them in. Oh, may there be times of sweet enjoyment to hear what thou hast done. To hear the testimony, the humble testimony of what thou hast done. Lord, bring honour and glory to thy great name. Help the preachers that come here then to exalt Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwell amongst them. Lord, we read in the parable, our Lord, of the sower, what's called good ground. Lord, may there be much good ground in this sanctuary. Hearts prepared. Lord, seekers will be finders. They that seek shall find. They that knock, it shall be opened unto them. Lord, we do pray that thou would reveal what is a finished work. Lord, the Lord Jesus finished his work when he ascended to glory. But Lord, thy work's not finished. The Holy Spirit's work is not finished. Lord, in this place, raise up those whose names are in the book of life. Lord, reveal to them sin. Reveal to them salvation. Oh, Lord, look upon Zion then. Look upon the gatherings of thy people up and down this land and in other lands as well. Lord, build again and strengthen again the sanctuaries. Lord, send forth labourers more. Some of thy servants are poorly, Lord, and cannot preach. Lord, provide others, raise up others and thrust them out. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that in this place there may be no disobedient children. Lord, but may love constrain and bring obedience about. Lord, following Jesus, Lord, it needs much grace, and it needs faith. Oh, may we hear of it, Lord, may we see it come to pass. May we rejoice with them, Lord. Oh, hear our prayers. Lord, we thank thee for the exercise of prayer. Oh, that a sinner can talk to a Saviour. Lord, it is a wonderful blessing. Oh, one said, mind's alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, nor thy goodness do thee good. Sins within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. Lord, somebody, one of the miracles of the Lord Jesus was to open the eyes of the blind. Lord, oh, do touch thy people, Lord. Ears open to hear the gospel, eyes open to see sin and the need of salvation. Oh, a spirit of prayer. Oh, bless sinners with a spirit of prayer to Christ for his mercy, for his goodness. Lord, we live in very sad days. Lord, the land is corrupt. Lord, and those who rule over it. Lord, likewise. But Lord, we pray that we may each be kept from seeking after the world or seeking to possess what the world has. Lord, teach us all what Christ said to Martha, but one thing is needful. Oh Lord, how we see the joy and blessing of this one thing that is needful. Lord, to possess that which we cannot attain to by works, but to possess it, Lord, by the gift of grace. So, Lord, abide with us this night. Oh, hear our prayers. Put away our sins and our iniquities. Lord, thou hast said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, thou knowest the tempter. Lord, thou knowest the effect of the temptations. But come, Lord, and appear. Lord, if thou wilt open one's mouth, open those ears to hear. Oh, affect those hearts, Lord, that are seeking. Lord, that long for a portion for their own soul. Lord, hear our prayers, forgive our sins. Bless the hymns that are sung too. We ask all in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
June 915.
Amen.
And help of the Lord. I ask your attention to the reading, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were, of course, in Jerusalem. They was in this upper room that they all met together. But there is a word in Luke, in preparation for this text and for those things which came to pass. In the last chapter of the Gospel, as recorded by Luke, you'll find these words: "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." It was the place where they should be. It was a place of blessing. As we read down the chapter, as far as we did was necessary. But it was a place, dear friends, where the Holy Ghost came upon them with cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon them. And the effect, of course, was quite remarkable. They were able to preach and to speak in the language of the hearers. There are some deluded characters who think that they spoke with peculiar tongues, but they didn't. They were given grace to preach. But the Jews that were there in Jerusalem at that time, from various parts of the world, heard them in their own tongue. It wasn't any particular language. It was the same gospel. But they were enabled to hear the truth for themselves. Dear friends, if you and I are affected by grace, if you and I have been quickened into divine life and born of the Spirit, one of the evidences, dear friends, is that you will be able to hear the truth in the language of Zion. But it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And would that was true today, Dear friends, this was in the days when this was recorded. They were all with one accord in one place. If you have you and here in your cause and in the chapel which I hope the Lord has placed me over, we're blessed with this blessing that we were all with one accord in one place. One of the sad signs, dear friends, in the days in which we live is divisions. And people speak about the word of God as if it meant several things. And some take it to mean something and some others, dear friends, as divisions. But if the Lord is there, the Lord was present here, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And dear friends, if the Holy Spirit is amongst us in our sanctuaries, we shall all with one accord, we shall be in this first verse, was they were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, when that is so, there's prosperity. Divisions do not bring prosperity. But if the Holy Spirit brings together you and I under the sound of the truth, it's a very sacred blessing. May you and I pray for it, to be of one mind and of one heart in the things of God. Oh, often you hear things like, well, it depends how you read it. Dear friends, the word of God doesn't need dividing. What it needs is application. And if you and I are grace taught, the word of truth, dear friends, will be made a blessing to us. There's not several ways of the knowledge of salvation, but there is only one. The need of salvation comes into the soul by the life of God. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was stopped on his journey to Damascus, we read the words of Christ, "Behold, he prayeth." They were all with one accord in one place. An evidence of grace, prayer. Oh, not any sort of prayer, not this vain repetition which seems to satisfy certain denominations. But prayer, dear friends, is the first evidence of life. They were all with one accord in one place. Oh, has he taught you to pray? Dear friends, I'll tell you what he taught you to pray for, and that's the benefit of your soul. Oh, there's many things, of course, we have to pray for, our pathway in life and so on, at the end of the journey and so on. But dear friends, the blessing of grace, or the evidence of grace, is to be seen in what we pray for. Dear friends, if you've got life in your soul, spiritual life, it will reveal the need. Wonderful thing, dear friends, to be taught to pray for mercy. It does not come from the barren religious thoughts that many have seemed to be satisfied with. The hymn says, "Mercy, my God, I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me." To you that pray for mercy, dear friends, it's saving mercy. May it please the Lord that we may each be found with this desire for mercy. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, dear friends. I refer back to just now when I said to you that the Lord Jesus said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." Well, it doesn't say what he prayed for, but sinners called by grace will testify what they prayed for. in the beginning of the way of the Holy Spirit, that the light and blessing of grace, dear friends, reveal what you pray for, or shall I put it another way, reveal what you have to pray for. We mentioned just now, before the service, of what the Lord Jesus said to Martha, but one thing is needful. And it wouldn't be incorrect to say the Lord will show you those one things that are needful, dear friends, and he'll teach you to pray for them. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And what a great mercy, dear friends, if you and your sanctuary and mine had this blessing of being all with one accord in one place. Do you know, dear friends, that's one of the greatest blessings to pray for. It's one of the greatest evidences of the Holy Spirit's work in sinners. They pray for what they need, what they stand in need. Oh, there's been lots of prayer, and I suppose you're not a stranger to prayer. But dear friends, if you're a stranger to grace, you're a stranger to what your soul needs. But when the Holy Spirit begins to teach, dear friends, he'll teach you what you need. And dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, there were those brought to him who needed all sorts of things done for them. The opening of the eyes of the blind and unstopping the ears of the deaf and so on. Do you know one of the blessings that grace will bring, dear friends, is indeed the life of God in the soul will bring it. It's a strange thing to say this, but those of you who are under grace will know what I'm going to say. One of the things about the grace of God, it as I said, it reveals what you stand in need of, and it brings you to the throne of grace to seek for it. The psalmist in the 40th Psalm speaks about his poverty. A child of God's poverty, should that be true? Dear friends, it will bring you to the throne of grace. They were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, it will bring you there, poor. We read this Psalm 40, and it always finishes with something which is descriptive of grace. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my helper and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Has he brought you in poor and needy? We stand in need of the Lord's appearance every day. I don't mean just to supply our temporal needs. And he kindly does that every day. We're not left to hunger. We're not left to thirst. Dear friends, we have the things of time and sense. But when he works in the soul, dear friends, he'll work mightily and graciously. And he'll teach you to pray for that you may be delivered from poverty. Or that you might have revealed to you, dear friends, what will make you to be found in possession of the riches of his grace. Dear friends, to be needy and to be poor is a great mercy when it comes to the blessings that you need in your own soul. One of the things which you don't hear much about, dear friends, we live in days when there's little communication, little spiritual communication one to another. And I suppose that there's various reasons why it is so. When we used to come home from chapel and communicate of the things which we had heard or what we have felt. Dear friends, we would speak about destitution. And dear friends, you are poor then. When the Lord brings you into, or the Holy Spirit teaches you, your destitution, your emptiness, your poverty. You possess nothing. There's no comfort, dear friends, in destitution. But there is need. And need, dear friends, is a great mercy, because you'll bring your things that you stand in need of and lay them at Jesus' feet. Oh, may he bring many a poor soul under the sound of the gospel. Truth loving sinners, but sinners all the same, that shall come under the sound of the gospel. And he does empty whom he fills, doesn't he? If he works a work of grace in you and me, dear friends, he'll take out what was there before. Oh, what a mercy, dear friends. When he worked, when he began a work of grace in the good apostle, dear friends, he took out what was there before. And it left, I was going to say, an emptiness, a poverty. That was why he prayed. That's what brought him to the throne of grace. Oh, we said at tea time, I knew a dear servant of God who I love for the truth's sake. And he said once to me, the Lord bless you. And if you want him to, he already has. Well, I understand that language, dear friends. If you pray for life, spiritual life, the Lord has granted it to you. Otherwise you wouldn't pray. If you come, dear friends, to the throne of grace, they were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, these were all sinners. And the children of God are convinced of their sin. And they seek mercy. Dear friends, they seek forgiveness. They plead for pardon. Dear friends, when you prepare a piece of ground for the crop, dear friends, it is as the Lord deals with your soul. If he's taught you by his grace, dear friends, he'll empty you out of anything and everything that you've rested upon. Why did the poet say then, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, black eye to the fountain fly, wash me Saviour or I die. The Lord works, dear friends, by what I call preparation. He takes out mercifully what is flesh, what is carelessness, what is indifference. Dear friends, he'll take out comfort and make you to feel uncomfortable. He'll take out which is nothing but flesh, a contented spirit with this life. Dear friends, when he works by his grace in sinners, dear friends, he has to and does, blessed be his name, he certainly does. He takes anything and everything out from you and me, what we rest upon. Yes, you can count up how many times a year that you go into the house of God, but that's not saving. But dear friends, when you are brought to the footstool of mercy, dear friends, you've got nothing to plead. Nothing to plead in and of yourselves, that is. It's a great mercy to come to the throne of grace, I was going to say, with nothing. But dear friends, what you bring to the Lord will be a feeling sense of your spiritual poverty. And you bring that to the Lord, and oh, what a blessed it is to be poor in spirit. What a blessing thing it is, dear friends, to have something to bring, although it may seem to the natural man, something which is indeed so unknown. When they, in the Gospel of Luke, when those two men went to the temple to pray, one of them brought the condition of his soul, and the other one brought the condition of his works. The Pharisee said that he had given tithes of all he possessed, and so on and so forth. And the poor sinner brought his sin to Jesus Christ. Nothing but sin I thee can give, nothing but love shall I receive. Dear friends, that's the right way. They were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, you may have various experiences which may differ one from another. But there's one thing, dear friends, which will be evident, dear friends, in all children of God. They have in themselves nothing and are of themselves nothing. Bless God, dear friends, when you come, just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, without the blood which sheds for me, and that he bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. You know, none came to Jesus when he was here, not in reality, till they needed something. Dear friends, if you stand in need of something, there will be a throne of grace. There is a throne of grace. But you know what you stand in need of. Should the Lord bless you with all your temporal blessings in this life, what is to rest upon when you come to die? Dear friends, you might be the richest man on earth. You might possess all sorts of things which other people haven't got, but they're not anything to stand upon or to rest upon, dear friends, or will bring any comfort to a dying day. What a mercy, dear friends, when you are brought into communion with Jesus Christ because of your poverty. There is an account, isn't there? I think it's in Luke, about the rich man and Lazarus. Well, they didn't go to their destinations because of their possessions or lack of possessions. One was under grace, and the other one wasn't. One that was rich and in need of nothing was found in hell, not because he was rich, but because there was no grace. He was the one that was poor. The beggar that who sat dependent on the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table went to glory. But he went to glory, dear friends, not on the grounds of his poverty in literal things or in providential things. What a mercy, dear friends, if you and I, through this life's journey, are often found at the throne of grace because you are spiritually poor. Who came to Christ Jesus when he was here on earth? Who comes to Christ Jesus now? Now he is enthroned in glory. Poor sinners. Holy Spirit taught sinners who have been taught sin's depravity and the need of mercy. If you read in Exodus 12, there's this word, or it's either 11 or 12, that God did put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. Or God has put a difference between fallen humanity and the children of God. They are, of course, by nature sinners and by practice sinners. But he's made one to feel their need of mercy. When Christ was crucified on the cross, there were two thieves that were crucified with him. One was sensible of his sin, and one was not. Dear friends, they were all with one accord in one place. It's a great mercy, dear friends, if all you have to pray for, dear friends, is mercy. In the days of the Passover lamb, God had mercy on whom he will. He provided preservation from the destroying angel. It was the blood that was applied, was their safety. Dear friends, how is it with you? What have you to plead? They were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, has the Holy Spirit made you plead for the blood? Plead to, I don't mean the knowledge of it, because many a person has a knowledge of the blood. Dear friends, if you stand in need of the blood, dear friends, you want the application of the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They were all with one accord in one place. Dear friends, when you compare, and I don't mean that in a cold or indifferent way, but look at the blessings and favours that the children of God are blessed with. One of the mercies, dear friends, which very few can understand, to know he brings his children, the Church of Christ, to a feeling sense of abject poverty in themselves. You would say, if you didn't understand the ways of grace, well, they're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Well, so they are. But, dear friends, they are brought to know the need of Christ. Oh, you know yourself, dear friends, there are certain questions that doesn't need being answered by anyone else but yourself. You know whether you stand in need of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul, of course, did. He was called by grace and blessed with grace. And I think what is recorded, what he wrote, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, Corinthian church evidently had divisions in it. But you know, divisions, of course, do not maintain prosperity. But in the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 2, we read his words, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." There is a Baptist chapel that we know down in Suffolk, who I suppose, if I said this, would be not wrong. They probably would be very keen to tell you that they have about, or they did used to have about, 70 or 80 members. Well, I told this account to a certain minister that used to come to Zora. But he said, "How many is in the Lamb's Book of Life?" Dear friends, how vital was that truth? Not how many are members of a church, but how many are in the Lamb's Book of Life? They were all with one accord in one place. The children of God, dear friends, in all your views of them, as you may know them, dear friends, you would say they were the most blessed people on the face of the earth, which they are. But they're also amongst the poorest in their feelings. What they possess, they don't possess because they deserve it. They possess it because it is out of the sovereignty of grace that the Lord chooses whom he will and calls them by his grace, convinces them of their sin. How many people understand that the saints of God who are in glory, or are those who are going to glory, are by nature hell-deserving sinners? and but for redeeming love, and but for the atonement, dear friends, wouldn't have the slightest possibility of going to glory. You see, because I say these things because there's lots of people that consider that the way to glory is because of works. Works cannot work me remission. All my goodness do me good. Sins within me, all about thee, but the remedies without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. What a mercy, dear friends, if you and I are blessed with grace and understand what it is, dear friends, that it is all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. I looked the other day for my own profit, I hope, what the apostle wrote to the Ephesians. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, dear friends, how it separates sinners, dear friends, from this business of doing things. Oh, how they boast in all their doings. But dear friends, it's far better and far more God-honouring and Christ-exalting when you can humbly speak, not what you have done, but what he has done. There's a hymn that says, you know, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. What a gospel, dear friends, is that? But this applies to the whole election of grace. They were all with one accord in one place. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry, is what's recorded in the psalm. Now, when he begins a work of grace in his people, dear friends, it is for this purpose he will hear from them. You know, when you've heard me say this lots of times, and it's worth repeating. A child that's born cries. A living child of God, dear friends, will be known by its cries. Listen to the cries of the people of God. It's a great mercy, dear friends, when you can hear them in their prayers and supplications. Hear what they pray for. You won't hear a Pharisee's prayer from their lips. I thank God I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. I give tithes of all that I possess. Dear friends, all these things are very flesh promoting, but they're not honouring to God. Dear friends, they're not in any way are they evidences of the grace of God. What would you say was the evidence of the grace of God, other than what I've already spoken of? A cry. I'll tell you something else, dear friends, which will cause you to know the difference between what is works of the flesh, what is works of the Spirit. You see, the works of the flesh, or the benefits of the works of the flesh, might be described as attainments. You know, they build up in such an experience of what they've attained to. But if God brings you under his grace and mercy, dear friends, I'll tell you this, and I'm quite convinced of the truth of it. The more you know of the need of mercy, the more empty you will be. The more you need his helping hand, the more poorer you will be. Dear friends, if he's convinced you of your sin, dear friends, and led you to Jesus' blood, well, there's a blessing, dear friends, which will take you to glory. But you know, at the end of your day, what have you got to say for yourself as you sink into eternity. Dear friends, you've got nothing to plead of yourself. I don't suppose that you and I hear many what I might call evidences of the work of grace. Such is the sad time, dear friends, in which we live. But if we do listen to what could be called the evidence of the work of grace, dear friends, may you hear what God has done, not what they have done. The evidences of spiritual life, dear friends, is the mercy that he has made known, first in the need of it, then in the knowledge of it. I'm sure that millions of the human race, dear friends, are completely in agreement with the way of salvation, as this is recorded in the scriptures. How many can you walk with who humbly can speak about their knowledge of salvation as it was made known to them? Dear friends, it is, I suppose, another thing too, you might say. How many know much about the love of Christ? Because, dear friends, if a work of grace is in your heart, you'll know the love of Christ. What else took him to Calvary? What made him bear the sins of the Church of Christ upon his own soul and die for them and rise again for them? Dear friends, it is out of love. Or may you and I, and I say this very carefully, dear friends, I would that you know, and I would I knew more about the love of Christ. Oh, I would know more about it. I trust there is within my soul a desire to love him and serve him. Although one feels, of course, the poverty of such things. But you know, if the love of Christ is made known to you, dear friends, it won't only soften your heart, it will break your heart. And it will bring you into adoration and praise to a glorious Saviour. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. They were all with one accord in one place. Well, we said as we started, dear friends, they were told to be there. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. May there be those here. In a certain sense, dear friends, the Lord bless you in this house of God that are found here. Dear friends, waited. These dear souls waited in Jerusalem until this momentous time came when the Holy Spirit, described as cloven tongues of fire, came down. But you can wonder at the waiting time. Are there those souls here, dear friends, who are waiting for something? Sure, my conscience of his part in the Redeemer's blood, bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Dear friends, I'm sure of this. If the Lord's work is here, as the Lord's work is here, there will be those souls that shall wait for his appearance. You know what the psalm says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Dear friends, if he has brought soul trouble about, and you feel it, and you groan under it, and you sigh under it, and you have to plead with the Lord that he might turn his hand of mercy towards you, you have to wait for his appearance. Dear friends, you won't perish. You won't perish. Wait. If you wait upon the Lord, dear friends, if you wait for him under his guiding hand, be very conscious too. I don't know, dear friends, I'm not asking either, I don't meddle in the affairs of other churches. But where the work of grace is, And perhaps, dear friends, some evidence of his love and mercy has been known. Whether it's a desire to follow him in these despised ordinances. Dear friends, be careful that you don't wait for something that you've already got. Dear friends, if the love of love to Christ fills your heart, dear friends, that is the movement of the Spirit to follow him in his ways. You would walk in his footsteps. You would be found with the gathering in the church of Christ. Dear friends, be careful what you pray for. They were all with one accord in one place. One of the mercies, dear friends, of being the same. I thought earlier on when I was looking at these words, trying to ask the Lord to guide my thoughts, my mind went to Ruth. You know, when she was married to Naomi's son, and then those two sons died, and Naomi's husband died. Well, Naomi then decided to go back to Bethlehem. Do you know what Ruth said? Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Dear friends, there was a wonderful union in those words, and wonderful communion. And my mightiest damsel did not have the same principles or blessings, of course, than the Jews had. But she was joined to them by the mercy and grace of God, so that their path should be her path, that she should follow in the way that the children of Israel followed. She was adopted into the Church of Christ. They were all with one accord in one place. No divisions, dear friends, where grace is found. There should be no divisions where sovereign grace is found. The divisions that are between the children of God, dear friends, is when the flesh comes against the Spirit's work. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. They shall prosper to love thee. They were all with one accord in one place. But as I said just now, dear friends, they were there by order. They were there by order. They were to wait for something. Do you know what it is to crave a visit from the Lord? You gather with the people of God who, if they were persuaded or constrained, would testify of the blessings of his presence and his help. Dear friends, does it not give you longing desires that they who can speak so freely and yet so graciously of the wonders of redeeming love? I know this, dear friends. Oh, be obedient to his commands. But I know this too, dear friends, and this is the blessing. If you've got grace, dear friends, and I say this very carefully, God has called all his people by his grace. Dear friends, not one of them shall be left out when he for them shall call. But does it not give you a desire to be united to them? Numbered with them may I be now and through eternity. Dear friends, it's not to be identified on a church book only, but it is to be identified by the sweet experience of grace. Somewhere in the scriptures, I can't remember where, it speaks about the language of Zion. Now, dear friends, if you have the language of Zion, that will bind you one to another. That will be the blessing, dear friends, which will unite them, unite you with others. You know, in a certain measure, dear friends, of his work of grace, what it is. Well, that's the language of Zion. That's the Lord's work, and it's wondrous in our eyes. There's one thing too, dear friends, I would say this without let or hindrance. If God has begun something in your soul, dear friends, how can you be quiet? If he's showed you, on the one hand, your depravity, and showed his mercy on another, in opposition to it, if he's brought you as a seeking soul to Christ Jesus, and if you've been blessed with promises of redemption, of atonement, dear friends, how can you be quiet? Then will I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. You see, salvation and regeneration and atonement, dear friends, are graces of the Spirit. But where they're known, dear friends, they're known to unite. And they're known indeed to bring joy and gladness and praise. They were all with one accord in one place. This also has a very solemn effect. I suddenly realised, dear friends, one who wasn't here. If you follow in the scriptures of what we are trying to speak about, dear friends, there was one there wasn't there. And that was Judas. Oh, how solemn, dear friends, but the mercy of God is unity. The grace of God is unity. Contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, dear friends, is unity. They were all with one accord in one place. The Lord bless you with prosperity, but the Lord bless you with unity. Desiring the same things, seeking after the same things, praying for the same things. One of the things, dear friends, which God will do for you, dear friends, he'll make you to feel unworthy of it. A child of God is never worthy in themselves, that is, of the mercy of God, but rather know what it is to be unworthy. Now, I must come to the close then. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. But it was a time of waiting. The promise had been given. Dear friends, they were to wait at Jerusalem till endued with power from on high. Well, the time had come, dear friends, when this blessing was to be known. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and he sat upon them, sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One of the evidence, dear friends, of deliverance and grace, dear friends, it will open your mouth and it will give you something to say of what you have found to your soul's satisfaction and to your joy. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Lord bless his word. Amen.
Will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Jempson on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great. cannot perfect bliss create. Hymn 619.
Tune 471.
Thank you.
have one thing to plead. Lord, what is promised, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Dear Lord, do bless thy word. Wash in thy most precious blood all away all that has been wrong. Lord, when we leave thy house, take us each to our homes in peace and safety, and abide with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.